Today, as we come to the table,
there seems to be something when drugs are taken that break down the defenses. That's why we talked about meditation last week. People talk about meditation and clearing your mind to be healthy. Biblical meditation is never clearing your mind. Please understand me on this. Biblical meditation is filling your mind with God and His Word. Whenever you empty your mind like the Eastern religions do, it opens up an avenue for the enemy to come in and have influence in your life. Because he can begin to speak to you and begin to tell you things. As you let your mind go, he will take your mind over. That's why the Bible says, take every thought captive.
Drug abuse is rampant around the world, destroying lives and tearing families apart. Many drugs are a bridge leading straight to destruction. It only takes one experience, and a soul is addicted, waiting and longing for the next hit. Unfortunately, drugs are used by Satan to draw people away from God. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark teaches that there is hope in Jesus. He has power over evil. Instead of numbing your pain, reach out to Jesus and His healing powers. Your mind can be a scary place where thoughts swirl and multiply. Jesus can calm a storm with a single word and bring stillness to you right when you need it. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 18 as he continues his message, Mystery Babylon Judged.
When you see the Babylonian system moving with all of its traditions and all of its idols and all of its worship over to Rome, I believe it's going to be somewhere in Rome. And I personally believe, and again, you can disagree with this if you want, my personal belief, the Bible doesn't tell us. Let's be clear on that. The Bible doesn't tell us. But when we look at the description today and we look at Vatican City, I think very well maybe looking at Vatican City. Let me explain a little bit about the history here of Vatican City, maybe things you don't know. Vatican City is actually considered a nation. It's a city and a nation. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't. Some facts about Vatican City. Vatican City has the highest drinking rate of anywhere per person in the world. Vatican City is known for its drunkenness. Vatican City, according to the recent statistics, Americans that drink wine, if you compare that to those that live in Vatican City that drink wine, Vatican City per person in Vatican drinks 6 times more than the average American. Think about that for a moment. Vatican City is also known for a lot of things people don't know about. They're one of the highest buyers and users of ivory. Again, there's a real conflict today with environmentalists and the Vatican because they get so much of the elephant tusk and they get a lot of illegal elephant tusk, which makes them very upset because they're saying you're killing all the elephants off, and yet they use the tusk to make all of their idols, all their images, all their crucifixes, all their images, if you will. They use them, and they use them in great abundance. Here's something else you may not have known, and this will come into play later as we get into the chapter. Something else you may not have known, the Vatican Pharmacy, founded in 1874 by Eusebio Ludwig Frohnmann, is the busiest pharmacy in the world. It has some 2,000 customers a day, half of those customers from outside the Vatican for medicines that are not available in Italy or are difficult to find. The pharmacy carries some 42,000 products, but does not carry products which are contrary to Catholic teaching, and they also carry beauty line products as well. Now, why is all this important? You're going to see as we get into this. It is, as we get into whatever city this is, that is the headquarters for the Babylonian system in the last days. It's going to be one of the wealthiest, it is the wealthiest city in the world. It has the most luxury of any in the world. It's going to be highly trafficking in pharmaceuticals, as we'll see in a moment. Has a queen mother, has a mother and child that's worshipped. And again, as we get into this, you're going to see fits the bill of what we see happening in Roman worship even today in modern day Rome. So again, let's get into it and just kind of tear this apart as we go into this. Notice what it says here in chapter 18, verse 1. It says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. So remember John's vision. He's been seeing now the angel there showing him what's going to happen in chapter 17 of the judgment of this religious Babylon. And now he sees another angel coming down to bring the actual judgment upon this Babylon, this central headquarters, if you will, this city that's going to be judged because of their sin in this Babylonian religious system. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. By the way, birds in Scripture, not all of them, but certain birds in Scripture are used as a picture or idiom, a type, if you will, of the demonic realm. And so what he's saying is, this city is going to be filled with false religion and demonism. He goes on, he says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine. Interesting terminology in light of what we just discussed. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, that is, spiritual adultery with false gods. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That is, the kings, and historically, the kings of the earth have gone along with the Babylonian style of worship. It happened in Babylon, it happened in Pergamum, it's been happening in Rome for a long time as well. It says, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Now, notice the word luxury. Not just riches, but luxury. Now, I've never been to the Vatican. I spoke recently to someone that did. And they said it is so ornate. All the gold, all the statues, all the riches. It is just the most luxurious, not in a good way. There's a lot of, again, idols and pornography and things that shouldn't be there. But again, at the same time, luxurious, amazingly astounding. Pictures can't do it justice. You have to see it, is my understanding. And again, whatever city this is so luxurious that the word luxury is used multiple times throughout this passage. Again, I don't see New York City as luxurious, and I certainly don't see America as luxurious, although we do have luxury. But this city, whoever it has abundance of luxury. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Note that, we'll come back. Lest you share in her sins, unless you receive her plagues. Now, why did I want to point out my people? Listen, the rapture will take place. The believers will be taken out, but there'll be many getting saved afterwards. And they'll be getting saved in all denominations. Remember, this Babylonian system will not be any one church. I believe it will be headquartered out of Rome. I think the scripture's clear on that. But it's going to include, I believe, some from all denominations and some from all non-denominations, all under the single unifying world system that's going to bring it together. But note this, there will be some getting saved afterwards, and now God is calling to those in the Babylonian system after they're saved. Now you know the Lord, it's time to get out. Are there saved Calvary Chapel people? Yes. Are there saved Baptists? Yes. Are there saved Methodists? Yes. Are there saved Catholics? Yes. His point is, there's going to be some saved, I believe, among all the different groups after the rapture takes place, but then God's going to come to them by the Spirit and say, all right, I'm about to judge that system. Get out of it. Follow me and be a pure bride for Christ, because I'm coming back for you, not in the rapture, but to come and rule in my kingdom for 1,000 years. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven. God says, that's enough. I've seen enough false worship dating all the way back to Babylon. I'm going to deal with it. And God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her. That is this golden cup. Remember in the image, we saw the woman riding the beast being the world system that the Antichrist is over, the woman being tied to that false prophet. Again, the Antichrist using the world religious system for his benefit. Again, we see the world religious system, this woman holding this golden cup as if having communion in false religion with the world. And then when it's done, the Antichrist will destroy her, as we'll see in just a moment. But notice here, she's holding the cup. He says, mix double, you're going to drink your own judgment. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, look at this, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Again, part of the Babylonian system from Babylon, Pergamon, and all the way to the early Etruscan peoples there in Rome, part of the Babylonian system was the queen of heaven. And by the way, according to the Etruscan people, when they settled there in Rome, They're on the hill where Vatican is built. Again, many believe they got their name because there was a goddess they worshiped by the name of Vatica. And as you worship Vatica, you would get high, basically. And by the connection to drugs, they would begin to prophesy all these false religions. And of course, that moved on. And then they said when they built it, many don't really know the reason they gave the name Vatican. There's no way to nail that down. You have different stories of how it came about. But one of the accounts is they simply took that goddess Vatica and named the region Vatican. And there's this connection again to the drug abuse that was happening and that false worship with this queen of heaven and all that went on with that and these prophecies that came out of there. Keep that in mind because that'll come in here in just a moment, play significantly in this passage. But she said, I sit as a queen, I'm not a widow, I will have no sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord that judges her. It would appear that whatever city this is, it's going to be judged in 1 hour, in one day, and be wiped out. Now, again, some people think that maybe it's going to be a nuclear weapon that wipes it out. Notice it's burned with fire. We don't know that. We know that it says the Antichrist will burn her with fire. Now we see this city burned with fire, if you will. And I find this interesting. It chose to be a burning with fire for the judgment because as you look out through ancient history and you look through Babylon and Pergamos and the Roman Empire, there were a lot of burnings of true believers in the history of the world's false religions. And now God says, you've burned all the prophets, you've burned the saints, you put them to death. Now you yourself will be burned and will be judged by the burning of fire, utterly destroyed in one day. Now, will it be a nuclear weapon? We don't know. I think obviously with modern conventional weapons, it wouldn't have to be nuclear. But in just a moment, we're going to see that whatever it is that destroys this city, they stand back from afar and they're afraid to get near it. And they weep and grieve, saying, oh, the city, the city. And they're afraid, some believe, because of possible radiation fallout. Again, we don't know. But now we see the destruction of her being burned with fire. And notice it says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. I find it interesting here. They're standing at a distance. Again, we don't know why. But they don't want to be involved in her judgment. But isn't it interesting? There isn't one word about the peoples of the world grieving because of those that died. They're grieving because their income got affected. It doesn't matter that the people were put to death and destroyed in this city. It matters that we can't sell them things any longer. Now, why would the people of the world get rich from this luxurious city? If you've got a luxurious city, you've got to buy all the goods from everyone in order to have that luxury, which means you've got the luxury, but you're giving them your money. They're getting rich as well in the midst of your luxury. And now they're saying our money supply to this luxurious city has now been cut off because it's been destroyed. And again, how sad that it's not more concern for the people. For in 1 hour, your judgment has come. And look what the merchants do. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, which by the way, linen and purple, the silver, the silk and the scarlet, these are colors of the Roman church. Every kind of citron wood, every object of ivory. Remember we talked about the ivory trade and all the icons and things that are made out of ivory. See, this is one of the major suppliers or rather major buyers of ivory. And they're saying we've lost all of our ability to sell it now. Much of it is on the black market now because of laws where you can't take the tusk. Every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil. And notice this, the incenses, the oil, the frankincense. Again, we see in the Roman Babylonian system, in the Babylonian system, but also in the Roman system now, which I believe is transferred over to, you have all the offerings of these incenses and these frankincense and these oils that are used as the containers are swung and all the incense fills the different temples, if you will. He's saying they won't be buying that anymore. They won't be buying wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep. Again, speaking of all the food that's brought in to this amazing, luxurious city. Horses and chariots. Again, Rome throughout their history has been known for their horses and their chariots. And again, very interactive throughout history with the Vatican City as well. And here's the one that really stuck out to me. Look at this. And bodies and souls of men. That is, God says you are guilty of condemning souls by leading them in false worship, leading them the wrong direction, and now I'm going to hold you accountable. Souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for is gone from you. and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, and was adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Again, it's just stark to me to see the grieving over the riches and not a single concern for the souls of the city. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, that is buying all of her goods, for in 1 hour she has been made desolate. So we come to the end of verse 19 and we see the world grieving because this great city that brought all this income and had all this luxury and all this false worship, it's all been destroyed in one moment. Of course, they wouldn't have known that it was false worship at that time because this would have been those after the church had gone, but they're weeping over the destruction of their income. They're weeping over the destruction of the merchandise they can sell them. Now, that's Earth's view of the judgment of this Babylonian city and this Babylonian system. But look at heaven's view. Quite a stark contrast. Look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. He's saying all of the believers that have been put to death by the false Babylonian religious system throughout time, they're now being judged and they're rejoicing in heaven because the judgment of God has come. Then a mighty angel took a stone. Don't know if it's the same mighty angel or a different one. But he took up a stone like a great millstone, which, by the way, millstones are used to grind grain into powder. So very symbolic that a millstone would be used as God is judging and grinding this system to powder before he takes over and rules for 1,000 years in pure holy worship. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall be found no more or shall not be found anymore. God's going to wipe it out completely. And not just that city, he's going to wipe out the Babylonian religious system completely so that it can't transfer over into the millennial kingdom where there'll be pure worship of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, the imagery of the millstone being thrown into the waters is here. It's also found back in Isaiah 50 and 51. And many believe that when this judgment takes place of this city, whichever city it is, when this judgment takes place, it's literally going to sink the city and be covered over by the oceans. And again, if there was a nuclear exchange on a city on the waters, it very well could make a hole that the oceans would fill in. So it might be more than just a symbolic millstone being thrown into the water. It may be saying, whatever city this is, when God judges it, it will be covered over in the waters and sink to the bottom as it's judged for its sin. Notice the sound of the harpist, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall be not heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. It's all done. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. Again, we talked about the Babylonian system and how many believers were put to death. By the way, even the Roman church, again, put to death many believers throughout history during the Dark Ages. Millions of Christians were put to death. Many of them burned by fire, even as it's talking about here, as her judgment will come upon her. And God says, I will avenge you for what you've done. Now, why did I point out the sorcery here? Because this is very interesting to me. Sorcery is connected to the demonic realm. Drugs are connected to the demonic realm all through Scripture. This word here is a very interesting word. The word is actually the word pharmakia, which is where we get the word pharmacy. Remember where I said the busiest pharmacy in the world is? It's Vatican City. Now, why do we see drugs connected to the demonic realm? There seems to be something when drugs are taken that break down the defenses. That's why we talked about meditation last week. People talk about meditation and clearing your mind to be healthy. Biblical meditation is never clearing your mind. Please understand me on this. Biblical meditation is filling your mind with God and His Word. Whenever you empty your mind like the Eastern religions do, it opens up an avenue for the enemy to come in and have influence in your life. Because he can begin to speak to you and begin to tell you things. As you let your mind go, he will take your mind over. That's why the Bible says, take every thought captive. And biblical meditation means you fill your mind with the things of God and the Word of God. But in the Eastern religions, they meditate, they empty their mind, and oftentimes they even take drugs. Now, this is not just in the Eastern religions. I know when Tracy and I lived in Santa Fe, I found out that the Indian religions, many of them, smoke peyote and these hallucinogenic drugs, and then they'll have these visions, and they say these spirit guides come to them. No doubt they do. But it's demonism. And there's a connection all through the Bible, from the beginning to the very end, there's a connection with sorcery and drugs and witchcraft and the demonic realm. I find it interesting here, in the meaning of this word is sorcery, but it's also literally the word pharmakia, which is where we get the word pharmacy. And again, the drugs that are used today that are being legalized in our nation and around the world, as we're seeing more and more drugs be legalized, but also the abuse of pharmakia with prescription drugs that are across the board, the leading pharmacy in the world coming out of Vatican City, he says the whole world's going to be polluted by this sorcery and by this pharmakia. I find it very interesting, again, in a lot of what we're looking at. Now, again, as we finish this passage today, I do not know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I can't say that this city is talking about here is Vatican City. All I can say is historically, this Babylonian system has moved from Babylon to Pergamum to Rome, and that's an historical fact. And again, it's still being manifested through the Roman church today. And again, with the denominations, again, coming under that and actually being connected to it, even more so today in our day than other generations, I believe. But the thing for us that God would say to us today is this: my people, come out. If we're connected to the Babylonian system in any way, come out. Now, this is going to be more directly spoken to those that are here after the rapture. But there may be some of you that have a background or a history that's connected to that, and God is saying, I want you to come out because I'm going to eventually judge it. It is a false worship. It's not a true worship, and I'm going to lead you into true worship in Jesus Christ. So I would encourage us first as believers, if we're involved in that, to come out of it. But I would say to any of us today that don't know the Lord, and if you don't know the Lord and you've been involved in religion in general, but it's not been a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is connected to the Babylonian system of this worldwide false religion. And you can change that today simply by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to do that as we finish. If you don't know the Lord, confess your sin. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Tell Him you believe He died for you on the cross, and you'll be delivered from this false religious world system, whether you're simply neutral or involved in it, and you'll have eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's what the message most importantly is today. Yes, we see the future. Yes, I think God is showing us what's going to happen, where things are going, where they were, and where they're going to end up. But more importantly is, even as they didn't care about the souls that were there in this city as it was destroyed, God cares about your soul. You're what matters to Him. Not the economy, not finances, not what kind of house you have or don't have, not what kind of car. Nothing matters to the Lord but your eternal soul. And this is something that is too important to mess with.
Thanks for coming to the table for God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Revelation. This final book of the Bible is not a book you want to jump into without having context from the rest of the Bible. If you did, you might think you were transplanted into some sci-fi apocalyptic nightmare of a story. But Revelation is so much more than the strange imagery and prophecies. Revelation points you to the fact that Jesus is supreme ruler over all and that He truly will bring peace to the world. Now that's something to look forward to. We hope, as you've listened today, that you've been encouraged to know what's to come if you're a follower of Christ. If having a relationship with Jesus is a new thing for you, we'd like to help you with that. We'd be so happy to meet you and talk to you about this in person. If you're in the Knoxville area, we invite you to come visit us at Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our morning services are at 8, 9:30, and 11:15. We also have a Sunday night Bible study at 6 and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7. If you're not in the area, go ahead and check out thewaymedia.net and scroll down to the Calvary Knoxville link. Then scroll down to the Knowing Jesus link. If you're needing to hear this message again to grasp what was said, click on the Come to the Table link at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. That's all the time we have for right now, but Pastor Mark has more to share as we look to the big picture of Revelation the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.